from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Yeah, football season's here, sort of. I mean, kind of. We got the media days, so that's over.
NFL camps are all, you know, everyone's in camp. So
we had our first big injury today.
Yeah, you know those are coming. And it wasn't huge or anything, but, you know, you lost a starter.
Well, the Rams.
Yeah.
Darian Kendrick, starting corner, torn ACL, they think.
Yeah. So, and believe me, that's the first, but it ain't going to be the last. I mean, that's the thing about football is, dude, the injury rate's 100%. It's just a matter of how severe it is. Cousins got cleared today, so he's back in there. Some people thought, would he be ready to go, and would that be Penix's job at the beginning? But it sounds like Kirkers early on is getting the all clear to go back to practice. Then you got some hold-ins, right? Ayuk is in camp but isn't doing anything. Tua said that he'll do 7-on-7 but not 11-on-11, so he's got like a partial hold-in going on. And then I also saw today that there is some rumors that old Brock Purdy could be signing his deal soon to the tune of about $65 per year.
Damn, really?
Yeah. Which, wow. I look, if you're the 49ers, I understand now you got to pay him. But this goes back to, you got to pull an Atlanta Braves thing with some of these guys like Jordan Love and Brock Purdy. Pay him before they know they're good.
Wow.
Because, I mean...
Yeah, but why would you do that in the NFL?
And also, are you still going to have money for Ayuk? Because that's and what you give Purdy, is that going to tick him off? So,
well, like, I wonder, like, the deal the Packers did with Jordan Love, you know, they gave him a little kind of bridge deal, and now obviously he's in line for a lot more. Like, you see some of these quarterback contracts, like the Derek Carr one, where it's
he making?
Oh, I'll have to pull it up, but it, essentially, or Geno Smith, you know, they give them like in the 30s or like low 40s, but they're basically 1 and 2 year deals. Like, I'd like to, like, if you've got a guy like Tua or Brock, and you needed to have done this a year ago, sign him to something like that. I know that, you know, the model in the NFL is get every game you can when they're dirt cheap. I just wonder if there's a way with some of these guys you're not 100% sure of that you can give them a good chunk of change, have it not be something you're tied to for 5 years, but get some cost control as opposed to going from, hey, dirt cheap for 3 years, 4 years, and then, my God, here's $65 million.
I think in the case of Brock Purdy, that would have been a hard thing to do because – he was Mr. Irrelevant. Like, he was a seventh-round pick.
Yeah.
So you're not going to pay him anything until you know you've got something.
Yeah.
And then he was instant. Like, the second he was in there, he was good.
He was good.
And so I don't think there was any real...
almost wasn't time to do it.
Yeah, there was no window for them to do that. Now, Tua's different because I think Tua is borderline, or at least at one point was thought of as borderline.
This is an injury thing.
And so maybe you can go to the agent and say, you know... he may not be here in 2 years. Let's get him on a lesser deal now, and maybe you could get them to agree to that. But any quarterback that has any level of success, like Jordan Love or Purdy.
Well, look what happened with Daniel Jones, right?
Those guys are going to get, they're going to hold out. They're not going to sign those lesser deals. You have to find the guys that are,
I just wonder,
maybe they know they're lucky to get that offer at that time.
I just wonder if you're the 49ers, and again, hindsight, but that, it was Bill Barnwell, by the way, who's saying that he thinks the numbers could be somewhere in the neighborhood of 5 years, 325, that's 65 per year.
Damn.
If you would have come to Purdy after early on last season and just said, hey, we're going to give you 5 years, we're going to give you 36 a year. You make no money now, and yeah, we're not certain, you know, you're coming off the elbow or whatever, but we believe in you. It's 36 a year and it's a 5-year deal, but basically, you know, you have outs after 2 years, and that's like kind of the Daniel Jones, Geno Smith things. I wonder if he signs that. You know, I wonder if you go to him, because at that point he has proven really nothing other than the 1 year that ended on an injury, as opposed to making him play out that year. He has a great year, damn near an MVP season, and now you're going into this year with him saying, hey man, I want my money, and it ain't gonna be 38. It's gonna start with a 6.
See, I just don't think the agent lets him sign that deal.
Yeah.
Even after that 1 year.
Yeah. You may be right.
Because Purdy goes to him, he's like, no, dude, I'm lighting it up.
Yeah.
I got hurt, but I'll be back. Yeah.
The 2-1 is interesting because
he is interesting.
I will, because when he's healthy, that offense hums, and he puts up MVP-like numbers, but you want to talk about injury concerns, and then there's a lot of people that think he's a product of the system, and he's got great talent around him, and you know Tua's going to want high 50s, low 60s. So there's just a lot of these guys, you know, from Jordan Love to Purdy to Tua. And then, of course, you know, no one will shut up about it, but there's Dak down there in Dallas, who's the most proven of any of these guys, but people still don't think he's worth it. There are going to be some big, big quarterback numbers.
Isn't Goff supposed to get an extension too?
I thought he got his extension.
Thought he was maybe.
Yeah, I thought he got paid.
I think he got paid.
All right. So Tua, Love,
mm-hmm.
Dak, Purdy. Is that it? That's up now?
I think that's it. That are in, yeah. That
those are the next four?
That need to get something done.
Oh, sorry. Hawk Tua.
Yeah, 4 years, 212, 170 million guaranteed for Goff.
Who?
Jared Goff. And he'll be there through 2027.
Goff.
And an option for 28. So yeah, he got his.
All right, who are the real blue bloods of college football? This is a game for you.
Okay.
I thought this was cool. Buck found this and forwarded it over to me. It said, it's by some guy by the name of Kyle. I don't know. He has sunglasses on. I don't know. But he did a little homework, and he put together the top 50 college football programs based on the following. Wins, weeks ranked number one, conference titles, bowl wins, major bowl wins, national titles, postseason awards, which is NCAA national awards, consensus and unanimous All-Americans,
okay.
Heisman winners, and runners-up.
Makes sense. So Outland Trophy, Nagurski Award, Heisman Trophy, all that stuff.
Professional achievements, including College Football Hall of Famers, NFL draft picks, and first-round picks. He weighed every single one of these 14.
Is it shocking that someone has this much time to go through this?
Shocking, no, yeah. But I like it.
A couple weeks ago, I read through an article. Someone went and broke down in way too much detail every kickoff from the XFL and UFL. And it was, I just couldn't believe it. It was actually kind of an interesting thing they did about where the ball lands and average starting position, all that. But dude, it was like 700 kickoffs this dude sifted through.
They're probably special teams. Do you think every special teams coach has watched all 700?
Yes. Yes.
Most of them have.
Guaranteed.
Yes. Yes.
That's their job.
But again, this was just some dude.
Yeah, not just internet Twitter guy.
I was like, oh my God. And yet I read the article.
Maybe so, a little unemployed there.
I guess. Either that or just obsessive compulsive. Get a girlfriend, my man.
So then he weighs each one. It's a different weight. So he weighs championships as the number one thing times three.
Makes sense.
Wins are times one. Looks like AP weeks ranked is 1.25, and so on and so forth.
One quick question from the text line, Vancouver 4 text line. Do we know, is major bowl wins what's considered major? Is that like New Year's 6 and BCS, or do we know?
Does not say that. I think
it would stand to reason it's a certain degree of bowl like that.
But. Yeah, I mean, you know, New Year's Six bowls. You know, I mean, come on, we all know what the major bowls are, right?
Yeah, winning the Weed Eater Independence Bowl is not a major bowl, but yeah, New Year's Six that's major bowl.
He put together the top 50 schools.
Can I and maybe he doesn't answer this, but is there a difference between like current blue bloods and all time blue bloods? Because I think there is.
This is his point. His point is, and this is all time.
Okay.
So he is saying, if you want to know who the real blue bloods are, this is my formula.
Okay.
So you may disagree with, like you could take out, I don't know, NFL draft picks if you wanted, or you could take out, but he, I mean, this is as comprehensive as it gets. Like we think of blue bloods. I mean, we all kind of can name blue bloods, but at the same time, you know, is USC really a blue blood definition.
So I was thinking more like Nebraska, because to me USC is 100% a blue blood.
Okay.
Nebraska, on the other hand,
I'm looking where they rank here.
Nebraska was the definition of a blue blood, but Nebraska has not been relevant, and I mean that they have not been relevant in 20 years.
So that will take this into account, because it's all time, right? So they're gonna, like, it will take into account. They haven't had a lot of AP ranked weeks recently, but they had decades of them before, so it all just gets tossed into the formula to kind of spit out our number.
So this is, by the way, USC. I gotta double check this. Yeah, there they are. Okay. Anyway, I didn't see them at first, and I was terrified.
Sure.
But they are on the list. Okay, so these teams have won. So there are, by his formula, 8 teams qualify as blue bloods. Because they have won 53% of all AP national championships and have been ranked during 70% of the entire AP poll era.
Okay.
So if you're talking bloodlines, he says, there are 8.
That makes sense. I would have said somewhere between 6 and 10. So are we guessing, or are we coming back?
You are guessing.
Okay.
Because I know who they are.
Well, should we start guessing now, or are we breaking and coming back and guessing?
I want you to guess right now.
Okay. Well, Alabama's number one.
They are not.
They're not?
Nope.
We're at the hell out of town. Nope. Well, they should be, because this list is stupid if it's not Alabama. Find me someone.
Well, again, this is not a subjective stupid list.
It is subjective.
It is not at all. It's actually weighted with 14 different very good factors. So some of these might surprise you, actually.
Alabama's number one, and otherwise this list is dumb.
They are third.
They're number one. Ohio State will be.
They are number one.
Okay. So, see, already this list is dumb. Because in what way, I'm guessing this is simply based on big bowl wins in All-Americans.
Well, there's also a massive gap in Alabama's history where they weren't very good.
That's not true.
I mean,
it's just not true. That's false. Bear Bryant was relevant all the way through the 80s. And then through the 80s.
But between Bear Bryant and Saban, they weren't great.
No, they weren't great, but they still won and still won a national championship. Alabama has never had stretches for long periods where they have been irrelevant. And how many national championships does Ohio State have? I'm looking here. So they got 8. So that's a lot, right? They got 8 national championships. And
claimed.
Yeah,
cuz you know there's this whole thing about
Alabama has 18. Claimed. I'm sorry, that's a stupid argument. It's just dumb.
Well, Alabama, they're third,
Alabama
and Ohio
has
State
a ridiculous amount of everything, and 18. So any list that has a team that won 8 claimed, by the way, and the other one has 18. Sorry. So Ohio State,
they're one.
Alabama,
3.
Notre Dame's probably there.
They are number 2.
Okay, there you go.
You have nailed the top 3.
Boom, even though it's in dumb order. So it's, again, it should be Alabama. Who else will be on there?
Do you think it should be Alabama over Ohio State at all?
Oklahoma.
I was wondering if you thought that.
Oklahoma will be on there.
Number 4.
Ooh, okay, we're going in line. Boy, I wonder, would Miami? Or am I getting a little too one-era biased?
16th.
16th. Yeah, that seemed like a bit of a stretch. Well, I would have said USC would be up there, but you kind of sounded like they were falling way down.
No, I just didn't see them on the list.
Okay.
They are number 6.
Okay. So I'm missing 5?
You're missing 5, 7, and 8.
5, 7, and 8.
That they claim are actual blue bloods.
God. again, this is a team that's been good recently, but I don't think the history is quite there. It's not LSU, right?
LSU, number 11.
Okay. Who am I missing? Oh, the winningest in Michigan.
Number five.
Michigan, and so I'm missing...
7 and 8.
I'm missing 7 and 8.
So you got Ohio State, Notre Dame, Alabama, Oklahoma, Michigan, USC.
It's not going to be... I'll throw it out there, but I think they're... Is it Nebraska?
Yes, it is Nebraska.
Get the hell out of town.
They are number 8.
That one's kind of like, holy hell. Did I say Texas?
I don't think so. Are you saying Texas?
I'll say Texas.
Yes, that is number 7.
Okay.
So by this formula, those are the 8 college football blue bloods of all time.
To tell you something, too, that it wasn't that hard to come up with.
I think the only one that would have thrown somebody off is Nebraska.
Nebraska. And that is true. I kind of just took a stab in the dark at that.
Well, if you're younger, you probably don't have the respect for them that...
No.
I mean, you and I were old enough to remember how awesome they were.
Well, see, that throws me because when I said Miami, if you would have asked me which one was... What were they? Were they 6 or 7?
Who?
Nebraska.
8.
Oh, they were 8. And I guess Miami, you said Miami was 16. If you would have asked me, one of those is 8, one of those was 16, I would have put Miami at 8 and Nebraska at 16.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's like, I mean, I just was thinking of kind of big national teams in my lifetime, and I would have had those flipped. Is Florida State?
They are at 17. Number 9 is Penn State, a little better than I think many would think.
Boy, I wouldn't have put Penn State there either.
And 10 is Georgia. So those are your top 10.
Huh, okay.
Now, when we come back, I think it's interesting to look further down the list. Where are Oregon and Washington? Are there other Pac-12, former Pac-12 schools on the list?
I want to know where one school ranks too. There's one that I'm interested in.
Okay. Well, we'll get to that. Okay. We'll get to the D next. It's 416 on the Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, 3-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
All right, in the news is coming up next. We are going through a blue blood formula, blue blood score list from Kyle
Kazimierz.
What?
I don't know.
His name's Umlang. Kyle Umlang.
That was the first thing that came into my mind for whatever
reason.
But
I like Kyle Kazimierz.
Kazimierz is a great name.
Let's go with that.
Kyle Kazimierz. Okay, so a team's blue blood score is comprised of a mix of regular season achievements, wins, weeks ranked number one, conference titles, bowl wins, major bowl wins, and national titles. You also have postseason awards, which is NCAA national awards, consensus and unanimous All-Americans, Heisman winners and runners-up, and then professional achievements, which are Hall of Famers, NFL draft picks, and first-round picks. Yep. He weighted them all differently. To your point about the Alabama-Ohio State thing, he did weigh championships times 3. That is the most weighted. In other words, like that's the most important thing of his formula here. There are 14 factors, and he has spit out the top 50 college football blue bloods. This is all time. So you guessed the top 8. Ohio State 1, Notre Dame 2, Alabama 3, Oklahoma 4, Michigan, USC, Texas, and Nebraska.
Yeah.
Now, I also think it's interesting to look at where some other schools, like, for example, Oregon, mm-hmm. might rank.
Yeah.
Any guesses? Have you seen the list yet?
I have not pulled up the list.
Kyle Kazmaraz list.
I looked up the most national championships.
And who? Alabama has the most. Has the second most?
Yale.
Well, okay, but... Look, I don't want to discredit Yale, but let's discredit Yale. Like, who of the modern Blue Bloods has the second most?
It's Michigan. I'm looking at the list. Based on the Blue Bloods they have, it doesn't say how many.
Again, some of this is screwy because it's claimed. So it's either Notre Dame or Michigan. But some of those are from, like, 1901.
What a dumb sport that we can't even agree on how many championships a team has.
Like, Michigan claims... 1901, 02, 03, 04, and then 1919, 1923, 1933. And then you get into some stuff that at least in the 40s, like, it's reasonable. Michigan has two modern day national titles in 1997 and 2023. So, like, by that definition, I would tend to go with, I would say USC. USC has nine. And they have a couple in the 30s. They have 31 and 32, but then all of the other ones, 62, 67, 72, 74, 78, 03, 04. So, I mean, I tend to lean towards that. But Notre Dame has 13. And again, all that stuff was way, I mean, their last one was 1988. So, you know, it depends. But Alabama laps everybody as far as meaningful national championships.
Yeah, I think it's pretty clear looking at the formula that the national championships aren't weighted enough.
Yeah.
So where do you think Oregon ranks?
So they don't have a national title. They only have one Heisman Trophy. They have won some other awards. I mean, they got a couple Outland Awards, and they've won a lot of games.
They've been ranked a lot of wins.
Yeah. Yeah. We always see that, like, the last 20 years, most wins. Oregon's in the top five. I'm going to say they're Miami was 16th, right?
Miami was 16th, yes.
They're nowhere near Miami. So, and they don't have a lot of first round picks. I'm going to say Oregon's like 26th.
29th.
Okay.
They are sandwiched right in between the juggernaut Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets and West Virginia Mountaineers.
I would have put them like by Virginia Tech. When I think about Oregon, like, if I would say historically, I'd say Virginia Tech. Where's Tech?
They are 33rd.
Okay.
So very close.
Ballpark, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oregon, some other peers for Oregon. Colorado is 26.
Okay.
Stanford is 27. Ole Miss is 31. Minnesota, 32. They were good back in the day, though.
Minnesota has, when I was looking at the list of national titles, I think Minnesota has like seven.
Yeah. They used to be good.
Yeah, they got six. So, yeah, the Golden Gophers, man.
Now, does Washington rank higher or lower than Oregon?
Higher. Oregon, if Oregon is 29, Washington will be 23.
They are 19th.
Oh, okay.
Right in between Texas A&M and UCLA.
Ah, the mighty Shut Bruins.
Up. Yeah. Boy, Bruins rank 20th.
Boy, how the mighty have fallen.
How about that?
Oh, you know UW fans going to love that one, though. Right in the craw of Oregon.
Arizona State, 36. Cal, 40. Your BYU Cougars, 43.
BYU.
Did you mention who's just ahead of Oregon?
Can we also...
Besides Georgia Tech?
Stanford and Colorado?
Yeah, Stanford and Colorado.
I did.
Okay. Well, Stanford's a little weird. Colorado won Colorado was good. I mean, they won a national title, and Colorado had two runs where they were quite good. They just fell on irrelevancy recently.
Oh, they're relevant, baby.
Oh,
Utah, 46.
The Stanford one is weird because I don't know a lot about, like, because Elway, like, was there. They were bad. God, they were outside.
They were miserable for a lot of years.
Yeah, and Ty Willingham did a nice job there. They went to a couple Rose Bowls, and then Harbaugh and Shaw. Stanford's another one.
They have the seventh most College Football Hall of Famers, Stanford does.
Yeah, they have a lot of good players. And I'm looking through their history.
Yeah. It's better than you think?
Yeah, they're pretty consistently ranked.
Huh. I would have, had we been doing this list, I would have had Stanford much lower. I mean, and I'm saying they don't belong there. I would have guessed that they would have been much lower. I don't think of Stanford as a blue blood at all.
Oregon State, not on the list.
And yes, to those that are getting ready to chime in, BYU does have the worst modern day national championship in history. We can fully admit that. Just don't tell BYU fan that they get so very,
you,
very.
You do have one.
We do. 1984. It's the worst national championship in modern history.
But you have one.
We have one.
It's not even one that's claimed. Like, it is yours.
It is ours.
You guys.
We were the only undefeated team. We beat, I think, a 6 or a 7 win team, Michigan team in the Holiday Bowl. And they crowned BYU national champs. It would have been like, what was the year? Central Florida went undefeated. It'd be like if we gave credit to Central Florida for being national champs. Or Boise State the year they beat Oklahoma. It'd be something like that. It's not good, but hey, it's they have the trophy up, and you know, it's, you know, it is what it is.
So of all of these schools listed here, you know, the top 18 all the way to Texas A&M, I mean, you would have guessed all of them. You know, Auburn, Florida, Tennessee, LSU, they're all in there.
Yeah.
But I think of the most surprising on this list, the blue blood score, Washington being 19 might surprise some people. Michigan State is 21.
Huh.
And Pitt is 24.
I'll tell you this about Pitt. Now, I think they won a national title in the 70s. Am I wrong? Did they? Would you look that? They may have won one.
Checking.
But if they did not, if we are going on.
They have 9 claims.
9?
They national have 9?
Well, claimed.
But there was one in 76, 1976.
Okay, yeah. So they won 76, so I was right. I was like, God, I hope I'm not like out in
wait,
left field.
Hold on. It says they have 9 claimed national titles and 8 unclaimed national titles.
What?
Like they're just not claiming them?
Well,
2, yeah. They're
what the hell? 1980 and 1981?
They're like, those years, they're like, we probably were, but we just didn't check.
What does that even mean?
Well.
That's stupid.
Well, again, I think this was back in the day where you could just say that you were, like Penn State had that one year with Paterno where they went undefeated and they weren't voted number one. And Penn State's like, no, we're national champs. Like, if you go undefeated, I think a lot of people just, or you have one loss and everyone else has one loss. I think back in the day, you just raised your hand and said, hey, we're number one. And then you bought rings and, you know, you moved on. I don't even know how that is possible. Yeah, unclaimed titles.
Kansas 19 has a lot of unclaimed titles.
I guess. Can I just start?
Pitt also has like some of the sneakiest good NFL alumni
and that's
all
where
the
I was,
time.
And that's where I was going with this.
Well, Marino and Dorsett.
Marino, Dorsett, Hugh Green, Revis.
Fitzgerald.
Aaron Darnold, Fitzgerald.
Mike Ditka.
Mike Ditka, Tony Dorsett. I mean, it is like.
Cody Pickett.
You know, of course, the great Cody Pickett. Like they are.
Say Aaron Donald already?
Yeah. I mean, they have a. LeSean McCoy, they have a sneaky FU all-time team. And also apparently a sneaky FU 9 national championships.
So if they just claim the unclaimed ones, they'd have 17.
Why didn't Oregon try to claim some back in the day? Like 1912, why not?
I'm trying to look up and see what year, like.
They were in the 30s. A lot of them were in the 30s.
That they claimed national championships, like what was the
what was the deal?
What's
the deal with that?
What?
There's blue blood talk for you. College football.
It's Division I football!
I believe, because as I was looking through this list, I think like 1915, I think 7 teams claimed a national championship. Because when I was going through the list of like Harvard, Yale, Notre Dame, they're all, like in that year, they all claimed the national championship.
All right, up next, it's time for In the News.
By the way, the coach of that national title team for Pitt, can I take a guess?
Pat Narduzzi.
Pop Warner.
The Pop Warner?
Pop Warner. They ran the old double wing.
That 1915 Pitt national title was disputed because 4 other publications thought Cornell had the best team. So. Cornell.
What a world.
What a world.
Can you imagine sports talk call in back then?
Well, I guess you know, over the radio, that's what it had to be.
Yeah. Yeah, see, yeah. Cornell's champions. See, I'll take your answer off the air.
Also, Minnesota and Oklahoma laid claims that year as well.
Told you.
Why not Oregon?
You have to ask somebody from back in 1915.
I feel like Oregon wasn't liberal enough with their claiming of titles.
It does seem a little.
You know?
No, because their rivalry with Oregon State goes back. It's one of the oldest in college football.
Yeah. Just claim them, man.
Yeah.
Who cares?
By the way, I'm still mildly confused. Like the year I looked up the one of the 80 years, 81, that they claimed the national championship.
That was unclaimed.
Yeah, unclaimed, I guess. But they're saying, hey, national champions. They lost one game. But
wait. How can they say they're national champions when it's an unclaimed title?
Well, I think it's because they're doing it, but like no one else is giving them the credit for it.
So an unclaimed title means they've claimed it,
yeah,
but no one else will give them
credit. Yeah, they're like, hey,
we had the best team this year. No one else thinks so, but we are sure we did.
That's not confusing at all.
So they lost one game that year, and they lost to the national champion team, which was Penn State. And yet they say... And by the way,
well, how can they just say that
they lost 48-14?
Then why do they claim this?
Because I think Penn State lost the bowl game, lost their bowl game, and Pitt didn't.
So then it was okay. So they value the head to head loss less.
Penn State beat them 48-14.
Yeah, but that's not important. What's important is that Penn State went to lose their bowl game and Pitt didn't.
So
therefore, Pitt is the champ.
Apparently, no one else viewed it that way. But there you go. Hot claiming national championships.
All right, that's hot college football blue blood talk on the Fan. Let's go.
It's Division I football!
Let's go. In the news is next, I have mermaid news to kick it off. It is 4:32. Here's Buck.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.